Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Hello and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. Very excited about this week's show. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And I'm Eric.
And today we are going to be picking up a conversation from a little while ago where we had talked about the uniquely French term allosexuel. A few episodes ago, we discussed the term allosexuel. Now, I found this term fascinating because what I really think is interesting is how, and this has come up in conversation before, the idea of homocolonialism and homonationalism, the idea that there is a way to be gay, and that way to be gay is very much centered in Western English, and how we are gay is represented in many ways. Being gay, and in our show we talked about the, I think it was LGBTQ community, which is just which is just LGBT with a French accent.
Yeah.
But allosexual. But allosexual is French. It is a French term.
Yeah.
It's a French name. And, you know, it is taking ownership of an identity that encompasses not only your sexuality, but also your sexuality within the context of your culture and environment.
If anything, I would say it's distancing yourself from ownership and that it's more of an academic label to be placed on things because, like, there's French has... linguistically, I'm not talking about culture or, you know, on principle or something, but linguistically, French is really good at distinguishing categories.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're talking about hearing, for example, the sense of hearing is l'ouïe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about the act of listening, it's écouter. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of things like that. So, like, vision versus voir, and, like, there's a whole bunch of, so, like, you know, the abstract noun versus the verb versus the concrete noun. Quite often, there's dramatically different words for each one, and it's because sometimes you get levels. So, you have a different word for an individual and for a community, or you have the action that you're doing and the thing that it is have different words. So, there's less conflation with a lot of that in the language, and I it's tempting to say it's some kind of a principled thing, but it's not. It's just the linguistic tradition of the French language. And it's for the exact same reason that English does a lot of the same stuff. So it's a blend of, like, the French language is a blend of, it's a descendant of Latin with a lot of Greek influence, a lot of Germanic influence, because the north of France was invaded by the Goths multiple times. And then there's a little bit of Brittonic in there, which is a Celtic language spoken in northwestern France. And it's just a nice little hodgepodge, just like English is a nice little hodgepodge. Anyway, so I was saying it's more about distancing yourself, because I don't think an individual would identify as allosexual. You could say you're part of the allosexual community.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So my question to you then is allosexual a FU to the English constraints of LGBT, or is it just a technical term that had to be created to fit the language?
Well, it was a terminology that was created to be more inclusive and to not forget about... You know, when we always, you know, the people that are using LGBTQ2++,
IA,
you know, sometimes we forget some letter. It's just to be part of a community and to be more inclusive. I cannot be an allosexuel. I can be part of the allosexuel community.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, as for the difference in between the terminology in English and in French, some people refer themselves as queer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the queer community,
mm-hmm.
which is not the same thing.
Yeah.
And
so that's why, and totally agreeing with what you said about the terminology and trying to find different words for different situation or different, you know, references. of the use of the words.
So in the context of academic descriptions, if you were to call me a queer man, I would say, okay, fine. If you're talking about queer theory, if you're talking about...
Yeah, non-normative.
Non-normative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I am not a queer man. I don't identify with the word queer. I identify as gay. Mm-hmm. I generally am on the fence about queer because it is a reclaimed term, and I don't like reclaimed terms. So if you were to say I am among the queers, or there's a queer community and I belong in that community, I'd be like, okay, fine. And it's this really weird thing happening in the community now where the people I've spoken to, a lot of people are starting to say, like, don't call me queer. Like, you know, call me a lesbian or call me Susan. Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly. I like. And sometimes, you know, these are the terms that I usually utilize a lot more just to define or to explain, mm-hmm. you know, different sexuality or sexual orientation and stuff like that. But to be honest, I don't refer myself as for a gay man all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm Eric, and that's what it is. You know, I happen to be in love with another man, mm-hmm. but I do not define myself as a gay man. Yeah. I'm more than that. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets really complicated. And even with the term allosexuel, I don't know if you noticed, but we're trying to get away from the sexual diversity because a sexual orientation, it's not all about sexuality either.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're trying to figure out, and I'm sure that the French language is going to be working on it. It has been working on it to find other terms because sexual orientation is not all about sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about emotion, affection, attraction, not all about sexuality. So I'm pretty sure, you know, in a couple of years, there's still going to be another term that's going to be coming up trying to define something else.
I have a question then. What about queer spawn? So in the English world, the children of gay couples, so they could be adopted or biological, are called queer spawn, and it was a term that was coined by somebody who is a queer spawn. Now, what we've discussed in previous shows is that you're raised culturally within the queer community, and yet your sexuality may well be straight.
Mm-hmm.
So you are culturally gay, but not gay. You know, would that be someone in the allosexual community then?
You know, it's becoming part of the ally. The allies that are within the communities because of their parent being either trans or gay or lesbians. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. But at the same time, I think that we're working really, really hard to tag ourselves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point is like, how many tags could we have? As for myself, I do put myself within the gay community or the communauté allosexuelle because I'm part of it and I'm really active into it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's a lot of people that are bisexual, trans, or homosexual that don't identify themselves as the gay community or the allosexual community, mm-hmm. because they're not just part of it.
Yeah.
They're just in a relationship with somebody from the same sex, they have kids or whatever, and they go along with their daily life. And that's it.
When they go to a gay bar, they're just as much a tourist as a straight hen party. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We still have a lot to learn about our community as well. And I think that that's a sense that we've lost a lot since the 80s mm-hmm. and 90s.
I want to pick up on learning about the French queer community just after our first break here. We're going to play Rhea May's Red Light, and we'll be back just after this. Red light, hoping it'll change your mind. Give me just one more night, more time. Sitting at a red light, practicing your goodbyes, getting your words just right for the last time. Who's gonna run through your head? Who's gonna lie in your bed? Are they gonna make you happy, make you forget? Erase everything that we had, take back every word that we said, undo everything that we did. Mine. Trying to remember what it feels like,
running out of patience, patience. Trying to think of something that'll save us. You're holding it all in your hands, breaking my heart, cause I can't let you go. It's like a bad dream when you tell me you don't love me no more.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. Now, we are talking about French queer culture. Now, this is going to be a very sort of silly question, but it's going to be one to sort of start the conversation. So, Sebastian, don't kill me. Mm. Is there a French queer culture in Canada?
Is there like an actual French? I'm not too sure if it's... I think there is one, but it has been, you know, they took a lot of other culture. Mm-hmm. To make it their own.
Quebec City has less Anglo in it.
Yeah, and it has a less, you know, quite a smaller community as well.
Like overall population, or just you mean like a smaller...
It's a smaller area. It's a smaller population. Okay. And it's a lot more students. Mm. A lot more students. Mm. And since there's not a whole lot of gay bars or, you know, things for the community, it's not as big. They've been having, you know, the Pride Week, they've been having it for, what, 15, 17 years, maybe, I think? So it's fairly new. Mm-hmm. Fairly new. They, you know, there's been a lot of history there as well. But is there anything that is particular to the Francophone? I'm not too sure of that. Like, even, no.
From the people I've spoken to, because, I mean, I grew up Franco-Ontarian, so I grew up mostly in Ontario, so I mostly have familiarity with the... Franco-Ontarian thing, which is basically you just go to the Anglo bar and don't speak French when you're there. From the people I've spoken to, it seems more like the queer culture in Quebec is more like small town gay culture. So if you remember about a year ago when we interviewed the two nice ladies who used to live in Sarnia, remember?
Yeah.
And when they were talking about the lesbian potluck circuit, and
oh,
how,
yes.
Remember that? So it sounds more like that, because like when I've spoken to my family who live out in Abitibi-Témiscamingue, which is like the entire region has a population of, I think, 20,000. And it really is people go to each other's houses and they just go on a circuit. They take turns hosting, you know, the potluck of the week. And, you know, if it's a man hosting, it'll probably be mostly men, but there might be some women there too, because people are friends and people know each other. And, you know, the next time it'll be a woman hosting and it'll be largely women. It's not that men aren't welcome. It's just that, you know, this is a largely female, you know, lesbian potluck. And it seems more like that from what I've spoken, not only just like to the rural Quebec experience, but also just the rural Ontario experience. It seems more similar to that than to, you know, the drag queens and the gay bars and the university crowd. And it seems more like that. It seems a little bit more like small town.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when we refer to the French or, you know, Francophone gay or, you know, allosexuel culture, it's, I think it's most of the research or in English. So yeah. I think that what we've been trying to do, like what I've been trying to do with a lot of coworkers of research, is we wanted to find some research or to actually, you know, make our own, so we can actually have some academic theories that can actually apply something, but it's in French. It's not all about, you know, something in the States or in English, so then we can actually refer ourselves when we do, like, example for students in university, that they can actually find some stuff in French, because it's a totally different way to put it. It's not that they live through it differently. It's just a different way to express it.
Yeah. Well, actually, so my my family's from near Ville-Marie. So Ville-Marie, there's two Ville-Marie in Quebec. There's Ville-Marie, which is a suburb of Montreal. Mm-hmm. And then there's Ville-Marie, which is the third largest city in Abitibi-Témiscamingue, and it has, I think, 12,000 people in it. And I actually do remember once I was in Le Gouffière. So if you know that area, then you know Le Gouffière. It literally just means the Waffle House, but it's like the most famous Waffle House in the area. There's a chicken and waffles place nearby, which is slightly less good than Le Gouffière. But anyway, I was in Le Gouffière. And then just offhand, like, there was a waiter there, and he was overhearing my conversation with my brother, and he made a face, and he's like, yes, I'm gay. And he's like, that's nice, but do you want crouton with your toast? Generally speaking, the approach that I've gotten in the countryside is, like, who cares? Like, I don't care that you're gay. Like, that's your business, whatever. And it is that sort of, like, I mean, in this case, it is sort of small-town working-class values of just, like, look, if you're good people, you're good people. Who cares about the details? Just don't hurt anybody. Most of my experience in French culture is either Franco-Ontarian or deep countryside rural Quebec. And in both cases, people just sort of broadly, they kind of shrug. And there's not a lot of research about that. Like, mm-hmm. What is it like being that? And I, multiple times I've asked my family, and earlier you mentioned history, and there's not much history. But the history is fairly recent because of the Quiet Revolution. So for the longest time, there were no gays in Quebec. They just didn't exist. Because you got married and you had babies and you had about 14 of them. That's just what you did. Mm-hmm. Because it was...
Well, it's... I just want to clarify here that there were presumably homosexuals.
People who had
a preference for the same sex. But gay is in the identity didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to clarify.
Famously, up until around the 30s or 40s, Quebec was largely run by the church. And if you lived in a small town community, you're more likely to obey the local minister than you were the bylaws or even the country if you were told to do a thing. It was very, very serious. And then the Quiet Revolution happened. And if you're not familiar with the Quiet Revolution, dear listener, basically it was Quebec went from being about 150 years behind the rest of the world to the gem of the future. So, like, Montreal in the late 70s was the city of the future. Like, without a doubt, if you watch any movie taking place in Montreal 1970s, it looks like any other city in the world late 80s. Like, they were ahead of the times. And it happened in, like, a 30-year span. It was so fast how quickly they evolved and updated. And they basically just turned into New York City overnight. Mm-hmm. And that's how, like, Cirque du Soleil got started. And, like, entire musical genres came out of it. But a lot of that was the embracing of secularism. It was sort of the embracing of the Enlightenment. So, like, the philosophy from, like, about 200 years ago about humanism and individualism. And it happened super quickly. And it was during that time that the gay identity in Quebec, such as it is, formed. But it was so recent. And then it kind of, like, by maybe the mid-80s, a lot of people would say the Quiet Revolution, like, it didn't end. It wasn't like a start date and end date, but it was around there that it kind of petered out. And then HIV happened, and then a whole generation got wiped out, and then the internet happened and kicked the generation while it was down, and it was... So yeah, I don't know if there is an alternative timeline where Quebec could have had a gay community like they have in New York City or San Francisco mm-hmm. or LA. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and at the same time, is in the past, what, six, almost 10 years, the community or, you know... Society has changed so much because we're more about individual,
mm-hmm.
ourselves. Everything happens through internet, so you don't have to actually meet each other. So you can actually talk with a whole bunch of people, mm-hmm. learn about, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, which is not always true because it's on the internet. So then I think that's where the bigger gap is. Like, the biggest gap, I think that's where it is, because of internet, because everybody's doing their own thing. What I do find really interesting is for the past year, I've been getting involved with a new research group with Université du Québec à Montréal, mm-hmm. UQAM, with UCO, Université du Québec en Ottawa, and other French universities. And we're actually trying to work on different ways of understanding different communities as for youth, mm-hmm. youth in like bigger city, smaller city, like rural,
yeah,
elderly people, like how, you know, when you're trans people, you know, when you're trans man or woman, mm-hmm. or if you're a gay man or gay woman, how do you go about, you know, being in a home or whatever, mm-hmm. and workplace, family places. So we have different categories, mm-hmm. I would say, and we're really working on a 7-year program or a 7-year research in French all throughout Canada, mm-hmm. trying to understand a little bit more how it is, how to be more inclusive, what's their reality, and how to, you know, make it more alive, if mm-hmm. we should say. So I'm really really glad to be part of that. And here in the Ottawa region, we're actually three. There's two teachers from UCO and myself in a nonprofit organization that works with youth. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what's at the end of the research in 6 years now, what's the result of all the French community mm-hmm. in different categories. Sorry for the term, but that's how it is. And it's going to be really interesting to see, like, even in within the different age groups as well, all in French. So that's going to be really, really, really interesting. And I think that's the first time in French history that we'll have that. Mm-hmm. So maybe we don't have enough, but I'm really looking forward to see what's going to be happening in the next 6 years.
Does that speak to kind of what we're seeing a trend with? You know, we saw the extreme individualism, which you referred to earlier, and you said the internet kicked us when we were down. And mm-hmm. what I find now, and, you know, and I can say that there is a trend happening now towards rebuilding community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've seen most in the queer community. We became so isolated when Grindr took off,
yeah,
you know, gay bars died, mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, what do you have? And now you have like softball leagues and soccer teams, and but rather they're going to these sporting groups because that's where the community is. A move back towards recreating community, which got lost from the AIDS generation, you know, and it's kind of like having that net. And I feel now that with creating the sense of community, we're rebuilding that. And from what you're telling me, we're seeing that in French Canada as well. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you say that that is being replicated in Montreal, Quebec City? And
I think it's slowly they're trying something. And I do think that because of all the people that are in your in your age group, I would say. But a lot of them that have, you know, they were born and they all had the rights to be whoever they are, mm-hmm. you know, as for, you know, same-sex marriage, having kids and all that. So some of them didn't know that it was not possible before, mm-hmm. you know. So before 97, here in Canada, there was not a whole lot of, you know, human rights for the allosexual community. So I think that had to count for a lot of the not the urge of, you know, being within a community, because everybody's trying to be more inclusive, going in regular bars and mm-hmm. being with their same-sex partner and having fun, having a drink, having a, you know, a nice romantic dinner, and without being judged or being pointed at or whatever. So they go about their, you know, daily routine and they don't feel the need of. But at the same time, I find that it's really interesting or really important that people remember their history, mm-hmm. because everything is not there necessarily to stay. You know, all rights could be removed anytime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we know that. But some of them, they don't know that. And that's maybe a part of it is about, you know, not being, you know, really politic about, you know, knowing our history and getting involved and knowing that, you know, it's part of it is a lot of politics.
Because this is actually something that fascinates me, is the history of the French in Ontario. It was a few years ago, I just went on a reading streak and I read everything I could. So let me set something up. Friday and Saturday night, when World Pride was in Toronto, the gay bar of Ottawa was French-speaking. Mm-hmm. Because all the Anglos went to Toronto. And all of a sudden you go there and everyone was speaking French. CP's became a French-speaking gay bar for one night. Realizing just how many French speakers there were in Ottawa who just don't reveal it. And if you want to talk about history, this gets back to Article 17. Article 17 is the dark, shady history of the city of Ottawa. And it was a city bylaw in Ottawa. In the city of Ottawa, the French language was banned in public spaces. And it was enforced in schools. So all the primary and middle schools, you could not speak French in the halls. It was an early attempt at erasing French culture from the Ontario landscape. And it lasted, I think, 9 years, Article 17 was around. And it's part of what kicked off the Quiet Revolution. It's part of what got people in Quebec interested in French language rights, was actually something that happened in Ontario. But there is this sort of like lingering, weird sort of maybe you shouldn't speak French in public. So there is this interesting sort of outside of Quebec experience of like what it's like being French outside of Quebec, because it is like, I don't want to say we're an oppressed people, because that's not what's going on. But there is this weird cultural thing, and then you lump gay on top of that, and it's double indemnity. It's intersectional oppression.
Exactly.
So any final thoughts on what the future might hold for Franco-Canadians?
Well, I think that it all comes down to it's important to feel your roots and to feel comfortable with, I don't know, like all the history behind it. And I think that we should know or learn a little bit more of our history, but keep it alive as well. And that's the same thing as for just being simply Quebecers in Canada.
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing, but it's hard enough just to keep your language. And we've noticed that, you know, French is dying slowly.
Yeah.
And that's why it is important. But to be part of the, you know, allosexuel community and being French as well, I think that we have to maintain our roots, even if it's really nice. And I feel really privileged to, you know, to have both language, like both, you know, French and English. But I think that we still have to learn and maintain our history alive.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Camps and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RBF series and the National RBF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RBF.